Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Fill out a protective order. I think it was in December. But I didn't show up to the court because his family, like, washed my brain telling me that his dad was sick and not to do it. So I didn't do anything. But after that, it was like, I would call the police. I have a lot of police reports. And I kept trying to get to the door basement to try to open the door. And then, like, he pushed me. So then when I was able to go outside to get a phone, I called 911 from a disconnected phone. Now, they took a long time to get to the house. It was probably like 20, 30 minutes. So I saw a neighbor walking his dog, and I opened the door, and I was like, help. And then when he heard me, like, he grabbed me from my hair, and then he slapped me. And then the neighbor, like, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to react. I have pictures of the evidence, like all the bruises, because it's not, even on Wednesday, he hit me like around like 3 in the morning. He would just wake up and like hit me. And then last Saturday for my daughter's birthday party, before I went to my daughter's birthday party, he slapped me 3 times. And then last week I did call the police. My sister called the police because he hit me in front of my sister.
So that was from August of 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's not some far right-leaning site that had that. That was USA Today.
Of all places.
That had that audio. This was her yesterday in D.C. at a May Day rally. Roll this.
It's been 50 days. 50 days of pain and suffering. 50 days of uncertainty. And as we finally saw the proof that Kilmer was alive, my children and I had to watch Trump and Bukele's administration laugh over pain.
The pain and suffering. Well, what pain and suffering is worse, being knocked around by this scumbag or watching him be in jail?
I don't get this.
If you were not watching if you watch it on YouTube, she was reading.
Of course she is.
So it's important. Well, because you can see it visually. I just want to point that out.
But if you're
listening,
right,
if you're driving right now, she's at a podium. There is a script that is written for her. And if you look at the statements that are attributed to her in print, there's no way she said those things. These are lawyers now, big lawyers, have taken over this whole thing. They have representation. And, you know, I'd love to know who's paying the lawyers, right?
Yep.
And so this is all orchestrated. She's reading from a script.
Yes.
And you have to wonder if she was pressured then in court as she's saying, I have all these police reports. And what did she say? His family has washed my brain.
Washed my brain.
Basically, that's her, you know, way of, because it's a, even though she's a citizen, washing, it's like brainwashing. But she's saying it differently.
Yeah, her husband's manipulative. His family has completely brainwashed her thought process. And, you know, it seems to me like she's a hostage in many regards, right? Like, this seems to be like somebody that has had all sorts of abuse and being held, you know, in a location against her will.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like at times when you hear the audio recordings in court, like she wants to get away, but she can't.
But, like, I get it, but she doesn't have to do this. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I'm sure Donna's right. It was written. So I'm sure the lawyers are advising her in some way. But she doesn't have to do this. I just don't understand why she is.
No.
I don't.
We always talk about how diabolical Democrats can be. They're using her, a spousal abuse victim, to as the centerpiece, the pawn on the chessboard in the game of immigration and deportation against their political rival.
Well, Dawn brought up a great point in that in the last segment. Like, where were the, when he, that cop said, there's no question in my mind, there's trafficking going on here.
Sure.
Why, like, where were the charges?
Mm-hmm. Because it said, it actually, because his license was, he was going 75 in a 65. His license was expired. He got a warning ticket. Why? Because it said there was a note when they stopped him. It was like an hour and 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so they had to call the feds. Who were the feds?
Well,
this was 2022.
Remember the Biden
DOJ?
They let him go. They told him.
They told those cops in Tennessee.
Yep.
Let him go. Mm-hmm. And he, so they did what they were, you know what I mean? The cops followed. The order said, check in with the feds.
Mm-hmm.
They did. They followed the procedure. But isn't it interesting that those Tennessee cops, they kept that. They yes. kept their receipts.
Sure. Sure.
And it was the local paper down there, mm-hmm. the Tennessean, that released that audio. So, you know, the cops were like, oh, hell no.
Yep.
No. We have this and we're going to release it. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
There you go.
By the way, Nick got more of a penalty for barely running a bus stop sign than that guy did for trafficking.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
They want to throw me in the gulag over that.
Alleged trafficking. Yeah. Right?
Unbelievable.
I mean, I'm just quoting the cop.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you've got eight people in one vehicle. And I don't... What was the vehicle? I think it's an SUV, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to fit eight people, even in an SUV.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're one of these third-row minivans, and even then, it's a tight squeeze. Dawn knows about the third-row minivans.
I know.
There you go. All right, 7:07, let's get to the news. Round number two, here is the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale & Company. News live this morning. And it's going to be a hot one today. We are heating up to 86 degrees, sponsored in our 7 a.m. news hour by American Heritage Credit Union. Well, it's May 2nd, but for May 1st, International Workers' Day, there were hundreds of people turning out for the big rally surrounding Philadelphia's City Hall. And it was hosted by, well, it was the AFL-CIO, but Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont. He was here in Philadelphia hosting. And he was talking about the oligarchs. There were large crowds. They were blocking traffic. Philadelphia police moved in and arrested about 70 people. So it's being described as dozens arrested, but 70 people under arrest because they were blocking. It was the Vine Street Expressway. They'd already done road closures, but apparently it was the local Vine. They couldn't keep the traffic flowing. And so it was the streets. Even though they had already planned for shutdowns, the what they're calling the overflow
mm-hmm.
from the large crowd actually was blocking traffic. So a bit of a traffic hot mess yesterday.
Was it a mess trying to get out of here yesterday at 2400 for you, or was that you were long gone by then?
It was already backing up. It was already because I think people were trying to get to the Phillies to Citizens Bank Park early.
Oh, what a mess.
So there was a lot of traffic going on, but it wasn't. I mean, you were able to move.
Okay.
But by 4 o'clock, it was they had done the road closures, and then on top of it, you had all these people out in the streets
mm-hmm.
yelling about oligarchy. So we've got that one going on. We also have in Bucks County a terrified woman. She is not physically injured, but it's a frightening story that usually does not strike the suburbs. And the surveillance images from a Wawa in Bucks County, this is Warminster, have been released, in fact, of this suspect. Police are confident they will get this guy. He's dressed in all dark clothing, a white kind of face mask, like a medical mask, and a black hat as well. But this guy reportedly got into her unlocked vehicle at the Wawa there, and they're now searching for the suspect. He held her at knife point and then forced her from the Davisville Road Wawa there to several different ATMs, to several different banks, PNC Bank in Warminster, FCCB Bank, that's at the shopping center in Upper Moreland Township, the Justa Farms shopping center. Ultimately, he told the victim to drive to the German Club in Warminster, of all places, where then he gets out of the vehicle and runs off, but forced her to take cash out of the ATM, holding her at knife point, badly shaken, you know, emotionally very upset, thankful that he didn't kill her, but fearful for her life. So this guy faces kidnapping charges,
mm-hmm.
Among others, armed robbery, all of that. But very concerning for the suburban police and people saying, you know, she got out of the car at the Wawa. I don't think it was running. You asked the question earlier, was the vehicle left running? She definitely left the car unlocked.
Yeah. I've seen, and you've covered this in a lot of your news over the last 2.5-3 years, the amount of Wawas that have had to close because of crime in the city specifically. I'm just wondering, because this happened at, what, 1:37 in the morning?
In the morning.
I know it's Bucks County, it's Warminster, it's a different setting than the city of Philadelphia itself. How many Wawas are still open in this general listening area that late? I feel like a lot of them...
I think all of them are open
are
24
they?
Hours, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember going to places even like coming in here at like 4:30 in the morning, I think there's Wawa's open. Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, okay.
I think most of them are 24 hours.
Okay. Except for the ones that have closed up permanently.
Yeah, exactly.
Here in the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the reason they closed them,
mm-hmm.
because workers, even dayside, but especially overnight, said, I'm not going to stay here and as a sitting duck.
Which is awful for Wawa. I mean, you know, I guess in theory you could just, if you're in a tough crime riddled area and you're Wawa, I guess you could close like a normal retail store would at 8, 9 o'clock, right? As opposed to shutting the entire operation down and going out of business. But
Supposedly it was, the problem was they just, it was also like the pandemic and post pandemic, but
yeah,
it was that the workers were good workers, but they did not want to work
mm-hmm.
at the locations that we had here, especially in Philadelphia. So those workers at Wawa, they did not lose their jobs.
Yeah.
They just, Wawa built, if you go like right outside the city, right over the border, what is it, Glenside on Easton Road, that brand new Wawa
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, as you go toward Abington,
yeah,
brand new, beautiful, big Wawa. So they built some new ones right over the border, I think, and those employees who were here in the city,
yep,
that's where they all have their jobs now.
And Wawa's corporately owned. You can't buy a franchise, right?
No, I think you can.
Can you?
I believe you can. I'm not 100% sure about that.
Okay.
You know.
Interesting.
I'll check on that for
you. Be a hell of a franchise. I can't imagine you missing if you're in the right location with a Wawa. Printing money.
I don't know. It depends. There was one by me that closed up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was one of those small ones where there was no gas station.
Wow. See, that's interesting because you don't make it. They don't make a ton on the gas. They make all their profit on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Slim Jims and Slurpees and
all the stuff that kills us.
Hoagies you get. Yeah.
So we're learning more about what the Delco Times calls the mysterious Delco pooper.
Yeah.
Identified, charged, arrested with indecent exposure and related offenses.
Duty, duty, duty.
Yes. So in this case...
Where did this happen, by the way? Was this like a major street that it happened on, or do you know?
She was arrested by Prospect Police. I believe there were two separate cases. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, wow. She really had to go.
So she's a serial.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly. We have the photo.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say allegedly.
Yeah, I know.
She's identified as 44-year-old Christina Solomito. She was taken into custody after police say she was seen defecating on yet another car.
Uh-oh.
In a viral social media video. And so
here's the photos that TMZ has if you want to see it. If you don't, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Now, which one is her? The one the blocked out by the telephone pole?
Well, they're both of her side-by-side photos.
It's two separate photos. Okay. One is her actually doing the deed on the car, and the other is her walking away doing said deed on the car.
Mudballs.
Yep.
So out of a little discretion, the police officers did not release the entire, you know, the entire video.
There
is a video.
Wow.
There is a video that has gone viral. But
she's like an elephant.
It is a sickness. There has to be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think I've told you this story on the air before. When I was out of radio in 2017, I was working for the Northampton County Juvenile Detention Center.
And you deuced on a car?
No, I didn't deuce on a car, but we had a kid come in.
What confession is about to happen right now?
I think I've told you this story. The kid that came in, we had him in a... he was suicidal, so he was in like the straitjacket to prevent himself from harming himself, and he was in kind of like the isolation, solitary area. He ripped off the jacket somehow, some way. He started defecating in his cell, and he was throwing it out and
like a monkey.
And then he would smear it across the window of his door.
God.
And I was the one sitting there observing him, taking notes, you know. And eventually we had to call in all the big... Because I was...
Firing squad.
Yeah, we had to call in the big beefy muscle guys, you know, the MAGA protein guys out there in our detention center.
Yeah.
And eventually wrestle him to the ground and get it under control. And needless to say, there was a lot of cleanup afterwards.
Ew.
EKZ says, looks like she had too much dairy in her diet.
Well...
Yeah, not a solid situation. No,
thank you.
Might have went to Rita's before this.
So, according to police, the woman gets out of her car, and I'm quoting from the police report.
Yeah.
And she begins to defecate, liquefied feces on the hood of the car of another woman.
That's in the report.
This is in the official police report that I'm reading from.
Yep.
Then she's seen, according to police, on the video, smiling. She gets back into her vehicle, which is a dark colored Nissan, and then the same vehicle was parked outside of her home. That was last night when she was arrested by authorities. They say this all started, it was motivated after a road rage dispute, and this escalated.
It doesn't look like, from the photo that I see, it doesn't look like a main street. It looks like a back street, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a house right there.
Yeah.
A side street, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, but the actual incident happened near the corner of 4th and Madison Streets.
Okay.
And then, so apparently there was a road rage, so they're driving. Then when the, let's say, victim or the other person involved in the incident, when the victim parked their silver vehicle, that's when, I guess, she's accused of following such vehicle and
that. What would you guys do if somebody just got out and started dooting?
These people are about 10 exits past normal.
I have no idea what I would do. I don't even know how to process this.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Do we have the video of her being arrested from Fox 29, Phil?
Why don't we get her and Garcia's wife together and let them hang out?
So the Prospect Park police chief, while you cue that up, Dave Madonna, was very serious about this, said this can't happen in this community. No town wants this to happen in their town. He says the recognition a town gets over this kind of thing is really unwelcome.
Pam writes that is a side street off of 420. So for those of you who know, here's the Fox 29 where she was arrested. Roll this.
Can you tell us what happened?
The lady chased me. She chased me, and I asked her, that's what's happening.
What do you mean that
she chased you?
I have a sickness.
You said she chased you?
Yeah, she chased me. And I got out and begged her to stop.
Listen to her side of the story.
Listen to her side of the story.
So is the sickness mental health or irritable bowel syndrome? That's the question.
Sounded like Delco Dawn. Yeah. Not you. I mean,
what did you do?
What did you do?
Car. Yeah.
You're pooping again?
Gosh. So everybody's giggling about it. And I think, you know, it's always in Delco. I don't know what it is.
Yes. It's funny. Like, this story is going to live in infamy forever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And she'll be a meme, a gif.
Delco is going to be known as the Delco Deuce.
You're really right. I mean, it's so true. You don't get this in Bucks. You don't get it in Montgomery. You don't get
always
it in Chester.
Delco.
It's always Delco.
Yeah. Love you, Delco, but you guys got to... You guys got a problem out here.
Y'all got some characters down in Delco.
Cactus.
You know what I mean?
So the family only said off camera that they're getting an attorney. There's more to the story. And looking at the court records, it appears that Ms. Salumeto posted a $1,000 cash bail. So she is out of custody at this point. They did process her. And then her next court appearance looks to be it's May 19th, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
So we've got that going on. We'll continue to follow it. Maurice Hill, the trial of Maurice Hill, accused of shooting 6 police officers during that very tense standoff on a hot summer day 6 years ago. The jury continues to deliberate this morning. We're watching that one. We've talked about Bernie in Philadelphia, Bernie Sanders. I will say that this evening he is still in Pennsylvania at the Farm Show tonight, headlining.
The Farm Show.
A Farm Show. The Pennsylvania Farm Show.
Can you imagine him at a farm show?
Look at all of these goats. Just sitting there eating.
They are the pets of the oligarchs.
So we have that one going on.
Eating all the grass.
Oh, boy. We have President Trump, by the way, it was a National Day of Prayer yesterday. That one didn't get as much coverage because there was so much breaking news and tariff talk, all of that. But we did have the National Day of Prayer, so I'll point that one out for you. And
Jimbo.
What?
Jimbo.
What's Jim saying?
No, I can't. I can't.
What?
I can't. It's just it's too racy for 1210 listeners.
It's a little too racy?
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD if you want to see Jimbo's comment.
Now we're driving viewers to the YouTube chat to see somebody else's comment that we can't read on the air.
And headlining this morning is that President Donald J. Trump signed an executive order last night that seeks to prohibit all federal funding for NPR and the Public Broadcasting Service, the parent company as well. So the order could be subject to legal challenges. That's what we were expecting. And it calls the broadcaster's news coverage, quote, biased as well as partisan. As far as the money, they receive about $535 million in federal funds per fiscal year. So I believe that's a little over half $1 billion, mm-hmm. which mostly spends on grants to hundreds of stations. I will say we looked this up yesterday during our our extensive conversation, but it's actually 1,500 affiliated stations nationwide, 1,500 television and radio stations.
Boy, if they cease to exist and they shut down their operations, what are parents going to do? I mean, Greg, you have got a son that watches some of the educational cartoon programming on PBS, right? Greg's
some of your favorite shows?
Yeah.
He's very distracted. He's figuring out.
Going to have to find some parents to download Disney Plus and these other options.
Paw Patrol.
Yeah,
you know.
Paw Patrol. Mm-hmm.
I'll get out my DVDs.
Yep.
You know, from back in the day with my boys.
Pull out old episodes of SpongeBob.
What were the other ones? Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Oh, remember that one?
Yep.
Hot dog, hot diggity dog.
Oh, God. I feel for every parent that goes through that stretch. That was about a year and a half stretch of that thing was that jingle was in my head for a
hot
year
dog,
and a half.
Dog, hot diggity. Oh. How about the Wiggles?
No, my we boys, never. Did you do the Wiggles?
My boys did.
Yeah.
Yep. The Wiggles. That was a big one.
Uh-huh.
And VeggieTales is back, and I highly recommend VeggieTales.
Well, so does Bobby. You gotta make America healthy again. Yeah, Veggie. Veggie straws, veggie.
Breaking news: we have exclusive audio of the NPR response for the defunding thing. If you would like to hear,
here we go. Okay.
The following is a commentary from NPR President Albino Armani, who was at Bernie Sanders' rally yesterday, but nowhere near Delco. It has come to our attention that yesterday Donald J. Trump has signed an order to stop all funding for National Public Radio and public broadcasting. Yes, like a car in Delco, we were dumped on. This is a very sad and unbelievable day. To quote DMX, we are about to lose our minds. Up in here, up in here. There are many alternative ways we can deal with this issue. We need your help. If you pledge $1,000 right now to NPR, we will send you a bag with the content from the Delco Woman. The content
from
the Delco Woman
that
we have here at NPR have great similarities. If our demands are not met, you will hear this song over and over and over again until President Donald J. Trump rescinds this discrepanopathy. This has been a commentary from NPR President Albino Armani, who reminds you that we are 4 days away from Politics and Pints at the Colonial Theater. And don't forget to check out the pre-show at the Great American Pub from 3 to 7.
Thank you.
Roll Tide.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I didn't realize Jimmy Kelly had such a wide array of impressions and
so talented. We also, by the way, we have an update. This is a school bus monitor for the Council Rock School District.
Ah.
Arrested by authorities, indecent exposure is the charge he's facing. Found sleeping in his vehicle with his pants down and his private parts exposed.
Uh-oh.
Near
balls.
A grade school.
Oh, boy.
So what exactly is a school bus monitor? Is it like a crossing guard?
It's somebody who would, he's under contract with the school district there, worked for Durham School Services, identified as 39-year-old Glenn Martinez, fired the day after a teacher at Richburg Elementary School says that she saw him in a state of undress inside his Kia Sorento.
Big balls.
According to the report here. And so in this case, Martinez says he had pulled his pants and his underwear down below his knees while waiting in his car for his shift to begin, I guess with the air conditioning running, because he says he's very overweight and he had become overheated.
He became overheated? What is he, an engine?
Sloppy Chris Christie.
So, like, it's swampy or sweaty or what have you.
Oh. I'm just trying to figure out what does a school bus monitor do? Because my daughters are actually school bus monitors on the way home. They have this little vest, this little yellow thing that you, like a jogger would wear at night so that they don't get hit by a car. And they make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do for the bus driver. But I didn't know adults actually could do something like this. Did they physically get on the bus?
Yes, because they are so... We learn more with what happened here because these were special needs children who ride in a van. And so there needs to be somebody who is a monitor that rides with special needs children in the van.
Oh.
So the teacher who's escorting the special needs children to help them get into the van, she realizes that Martinez, who usually rides with the children in the van, she saw that he was sleeping in his Sorento.
Okay.
So she goes over to awaken him because she's escorting the kids. Then she says to she's the one who called the police. She realized she sees what's going, and runs over, makes sure the kids did not see him. There was zero contact with any children, but she calls the authorities. And they found him in the state of the undress, sleeping in there. But he's claiming it's because he's overweight.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He had issues, right?
Yeah.
Some issues there.
Yeah. He was sweaty.
How fat do you have to be that... The only relief you get
it's
is
a lie,
off
Nick.
Your pants.
It's a lie, Nick. It's a lie, my friend.
I'm just trying to.
In my opinion.
I'm just trying to break this all down here.
Yeah, don't try and break it all down. In my opinion, it's a lie.
I know. Most normal people, when we're a little hot, we put the air on, the fan, we take our shirt off. You know, I don't know that trousers are going to give you the relief you need.
All right, kids, we have to break.
Okay.
28 minutes without a break. Let's go.
On this 86-degree day, we are sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. At American Heritage Credit Union,
so much for staying on track, Nick.
They can help boost your savings. Choose a 12-month IRA certificate, 4.20% annual percentage yield, or a 9-month certificate at 4.15%. Just visit them, AmericanHeritageCU.org, federally insured by NCUA. Thank you, American Heritage Credit Union, for sponsoring us.
All right, the next news update we'll do on this show will be in June. We've done enough news for the month of May, and we're only 2 days in. We've hit our quota. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, quick segment, and then we're going to get to Sean Farish. He's with us at 7:45, because at 7:45, we get to the cut sheet. Stay right there.
Despite the heat today going up to 86 degrees, my guys at Marvin E. Cans have made sure that my HVAC is working just fine this spring, which feels more like summertime. Marvin E. Cans, third generation owned, military veteran founded company. Take my advice. Just call my guys at Marvin E. Cans. Get your furnace checked. Get your HVAC system all checked. Make sure it's good to go for this season. And if they feel that your unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price and install a high efficiency train furnace, T-R-A-N-E, hard to stop a train, as they say. Contact my guys, Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. You're going to love them. They do a great job. Call them now or contact them now. Marvin E. KANZE.com, MarvinEcans.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kamala Harris, a.k.a. SD, will join us at 9:30. I'm getting ready for this. This is going to be so good. So stay tuned for that. I just wanted to give this update real quick. We don't have a ton of time to get into some of the other stories. The Neil Young, Elon Musk thing is actually going to be on the cut sheet because we have a clip of that. So we'll get to that coming up. But Trump just posted the following on Truth. I'm seeing it on X now, saying we are going to be taking away Harvard's tax exempt status. It is what they deserve. And it just triggered my brain real quick to search Swarthmore out, because I know, Dawn, we were covering this the last couple of days. And according to the Swarthmore Phoenix, their live update blog as of 13 hours ago, this was at 8 p.m. last night, the FBI had urged Swarthmore College to bring the encampment to an end, quote, as quickly as possible. I don't know if you have any updates on if that thing has been disbanded and broken up, but I love the fact that now Trump not only defunding NPR and PBS with that executive order, but also, according to what he just posted on Truth, taking away Harvard's tax-exempt status. I'm so tired of these colleges that are going above and beyond what is free speech versus what is harassment and anti-Semitism. And I gave that story a few days ago from the Philadelphia Inquirer about, well, Pennsylvania and Philadelphia does have an anti-Semitism problem. We've seen it 900% increase in the last calendar year, but you can't define it. I mean, to me, it's very simple. It's when you go above and beyond. And look, hate speech is for the most part protected speech, which, you know, if you're a free speech absolutist, you have to take the good with the bad. But when you get to the point where people are not only being intimidated, we've seen those video clips in the last year and a half, 2 years now. My God, it's hard to believe. We're coming up on 2 years since October 7th already. Before you know it, it'll be here. You know, people that are barricaded in libraries, vandalism, destruction. This is not protected. So I know Swarthmore, much smaller institution, but these Ivy League schools that have these massive endowments and all the funding that they get on top of what they charge on an annual basis for tuition, it's hard to believe it took this long to possibly get to the point where they're going to lose funding. Right.
The president of Swarthmore Val Smith released another statement to update about the encampment, said it was led by members of Swarthmore Students for Justice in Palestine. She noted that that is a suspended student organization, including the steps that she says we are taking, meaning the university, to end it. And she has repeatedly, she said they again last night told them to get off the property. However, they've ignored those directives and that police would be called. So this morning, I'm trying to check to confirm this through official reports, but she said there were instances of graffiti, abhorrent statements. She's talking about the fact that that's going on and that they have discovered that many of the individuals who are there are not in any way affiliated with Swarthmore, are not students.
So there's a group at the school that has its status suspended, yet the ones that are protesting are basically trespassing.
Trespassing,
they don't belong to the school.
Vandal, accused of vandalism.
Yeah.
And as well, what they're saying is that the situation is that many or most, because there were reportedly 30 people out there, they had tents and so on, but anti-Israel group. But she's saying this is a suspended group. They're violating the policy. And she said, I deeply regret that we find ourselves in this position. I urge these protesters pursue a less divisive approach to expressing their views, one that aligns with not just the college's policies, but with the mutual respect, compassion, and care that all in our community deserve. Mm-hmm. So they're taking, you know, they're not supporting these individuals. And they've said that students face suspensions. If they are legit students, they're trying to identify them. They're doing that right now.
Yep.
And they're already, the ones ID'd are on interim suspension.
Wow.
So they're not taking this lightly.
I'm just going to look this up here. I'm wondering what the cost to go to Swarthmore is per year. Are they charging Ivy League rates? It's got to be pretty close. It's a pretty good private school, much smaller, obviously, than, you know, the Penns and the Columbias and the Yales. I'm trying to look it up here as we're having this conversation. It apparently, according to Yahoo News, Swarthmore College lands in the top five on U.S. News Best Colleges list. I knew it was a pretty, credible school as far as its reputation in academia. I can't seem to find, of course, the one time I want to look for a cost of it, I can find every other school under the sun. Can't find one for Swarthmore, but I would guess it's probably north of $50,000 a year would be my guess. All right, 855-839-1210. Also, don't forget Politics and Pints. It's coming up on Tuesday, May 6th. We're just 4 days away. We're going to be out in Phoenixville, all within walking distance. Pregame will start at 3 o'clock with Zioli broadcasting live from the Great American Pub, and then mosey on down to the Colonial Theater, stumble on down, crawl down, Uber down, get jump on somebody's back and get a piggyback ride if you're too hammered, and then go to the Colonial Theater at 7. 7:30, Trump's first 100 days. We will be going through everything that has occurred. Myself, Dawn Stensland, Dom Giordano, Rich Zeoli. It's going to be interactive. There's going to be pints. We're going to have commentary. We'll all be up there sitting. Just a big old roundtable discussion. It'll be like Abby Phillip and Scott Jennings on CNN, except it'll be an enjoyable experience, and you'll want to watch it and consume it and not pull your hair out. It'll be a great time.
By the way, if you're going to the Great American Pub for the Zeoli broadcast starting at 3 o'clock, that'll be the official happy hour spot before Politics and Pints. There'll be all kinds of Miller Lite specials. So make sure you stop out to the Great American Pub before Politics and Pints for your Miller Lite specials.
Yep. And also, been getting a lot of tweets and texts and pictures of people preparing for the bike ride. Once we get through Politics and Pints next week,
here we go.
We are closing in. Believe it or not, it's going to be here before you know it. We'll be just about 10 weeks away from the bike ride.
That's crazy.
We need to crank up the donations at GregStockerSucks.com.
We do. Yeah, we're going to make a full-on effort to get those donations up there. Because, yeah, we started off strong, and then all of a sudden it stopped.
Well, we did $1,500 just in one Friday day alone.
I know.
Right?
I know. But we have to keep it going.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes, we do. All right. Sean Farish, live from Tennessee, when we come back for a Friday edition of the Cut Sheet.
I see him in the on-deck circle.
I do. Yeah, he's there. He's down in the hopper.
Yep.
He's hanging out. He's warming up. We'll get him his entrance music, and we'll be back after this with a Friday edition of the Cut Sheet. And then his partner in crime in the impression industry, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris will join us at 9:30 this morning. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Dawn Stensland, I know you know Dr. Mike Donahoe. He's sent me a text. He's my chiropractor. Yeah. He says Swarthmore, $62,414 a year. That's what you get when you go to Swarthmore. 62 large, and you can get camps and encampments and tents with stupid people that don't even go to school there protesting the wrong side of a never-ending battle between the Palestinian cause and the Jewish cause. All right, let's go down to Tennessee, where they're breaking all sorts of news with the Tennessee Star. Our buddy Sean Farish is with us for a Farish Friday. What's up, buddy?
Oh, what's going on, guys? Always good to be here. It's always nice when it's Friday, time to have some fun with the Cut Sheet. And, yeah, our friends down here on Tennessee Star, I know Michael Patrick Leahy pretty well, and they are doing unbelievable work with this Maryland man story. They're killing it.
Maryland dad.
Maryland dad. Father of the year. You know, we call him the father of the year, by the way. He's a great guy. You know, I think we're going to vote. You know, here's what they're going to do. They're going to elect Abrego Garcia as the next pope. Let's see what happens.
The conclave is chosen. Yeah.
The conclave. All right, let's get down to business. Friday edition. Greg Stocker, what is on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Friday? All right, let's start with one here. So, Representative Ilhan Omar was approached by a Daily Caller reporter, Miles Morrell.
So classy.
Some people did something.
I love how you called her Elon, by the way, like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
This is outside the this is outside the Capitol yesterday. Roll this.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Abrego Garcia?
I think you should off.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what, Congresswoman?
Off.
Who should?
You.
Why me?
I'm not taking any questions right now, but here you go.
Here's a pamphlet.
Yeah, thanks.
Here's our business card. schedule an appointment if you want to chat. It's a legit question. The Daily Caller is a reputable. I mean, it's not mainstream, but it's where Caitlin Collins used to work before she took a job at CNN. Valid question to somebody who continues to defend all of the wrong causes and be on the wrong side of every 80-20 issue. That's a terrible potty mouth, Mr. Farish.
That's a terrible potty mouth, and I bet you if Donald Trump decided he was going to drop the F-bomb to a reporter, you know, like that guy who was in the Oval Office the other day from ABC, you know, if he was like, what the are you talking about? What the hell is your problem? You know, what the story would have been, right? Trump verbally assaults reporter. It would have been a whole thing. But Ilhan Omar, you know, the terror simp, is allowed to drop an F-bomb. It must, you know, it really must be nice to be a leftist in this country. You are literally above the law, or you were. Mm-hmm. Maybe not anymore. I mean, not that she did anything illegal, but,
right.
You know, not a good look, I would say. If it was a Republican, it would be a bad look.
I wonder if she kisses her brother with that mouth.
Well, she might kiss her husband. Same thing.
I was just going to say, she's the one that married her brother, right?
Yeah.
What the report is.
People did something.
AOC was asked about, remember last week we played that ad basically of her, you know, this is me running. It was her in Idaho or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was basically a campaign ad.
Yep.
So a Fox News reporter asked her, like, is she running for president? And she, what? Because I released that ad? Oh, that's silly. What a silly question. Roll it.
You thinking about running for president? Or Senate?
Because of my Instagram calls?
No, the video, the campaign style video. It's got everybody talking.
I mean, it's a video. And frankly, I think what people should be most concerned about is the fact that Republicans are trying to cut Medicaid right now and people's health care is in danger. And that's really what my central focus is. This moment isn't about campaigns or elections or about politics. It's about making sure people are protected.
She loves it. She loves the spotlight. She loves the power of social media. She loves getting on there and going live. I do believe she is going to run. I don't think she can win, but I do think she wants to run. And I think she's going to run in 2028.
I think she's going to run too. I think it's obvious that that campaign style ad was kind of laying the foundation. And I think it's also obvious that Bernie Sanders is not going to run, and he's essentially molding her and training her to run in his stead.
She's his disciple, right? She's yes. The protege. She's the piece of clay that he's molding in her image.
Grooming, I think is the word.
She's that quarterback sitting on the bench, right? She's basically the Aaron Rodgers to the Brett Favre, right? Yeah.
Perfect.
You know?
Yep.
Sorta.
I know you played a little bit of this this morning earlier on the Big Take, but, you know, I go where you people take me. Use people. That means use three.
Use.
Bernie Sanders was in Philadelphia yesterday for the May Day rally. This is cut 19, Philip. Talking about the oligarchs. Roll it.
So let us be clear and lay it out on the table. In the year 2025 in America, we are now living in an oligarchic form of society. Never before in our history have so few had so much wealth while so many Americans are struggling.
Like three houses.
Never before have so few had so much political power.
Like you do.
While millions of Americans no longer vote, millions of others have given up on democracy.
In all seriousness, how many people do you think in that crowd have three homes? Probably less than 1%.
Yes. Correct.
You know, yeah. I never knew how much I loved Bernie Sanders with reverb. That was good. All gawky, gawky, gawky.
Today. I consider myself so.
Yeah.
To be.
I know you're not up here, Sean, and good for you. but this rally yesterday just completely dead stop traffic during rush hour on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Traffic is my favorite thing. By favorite, I mean least favorite.
Yeah.
You know, when I lived in New York, I actually did damage to the inside of my truck because I got stuck in traffic.
So. Uh-oh. Well, you're not going to...
You know, there was... Because, you know, we were coming back from New York City. I was doing something for Newsmax, and it was raining. So once that happens, you know, a little bit of falling water, and we really forget how to drive.
It's true.
We were going 40 miles literally, and it took me almost 4 hours. So like about halfway through, Google just decides to go, there's a slowdown ahead.
Yep.
And I went, oh, really? And I punched the screen.
You think?
By the way, I
punched the display. So now it's
a couple weeks shattered. A couple weeks ago, I was up in New York on official corporate business, and I texted Sean, and I was just like, I'm in the city of your birth, and he goes, be careful, seriously, it's not the same city anymore. I was like, yep, you are 100%.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Speaking of cities, sanctuary cities, Tom Homan was asked yesterday, this is three, Phil, You know, we're a sanctuary city here in Philadelphia. Why not just arrest sanctuary city leaders who are harboring and shielding illegals from deportation? His answer is telling. Roll this.
So the president signed an executive order just this week threatening to defund sanctuary cities for their policies. Why not just arrest the leaders who are harboring and shielding illegal aliens, actually terrorists, from deportation?
Wait till you see what's coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it's going to happen. Mm. We've already seen it happen with some of the judges, right? The New Mexico judge. We've had the rogue Milwaukee judge. Any of these people, these elected leaders, these people that are in office, sitting on a bench in a municipality, it's going to happen. I would not be shocked if this doesn't happen by the end of the month.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it, too, because the thing is, that's illegal to do what they're doing, right? So if the idea is that nobody is above the law, then you can't do things that are illegal and get away with it. You mm-hmm. know, this Judge Dugan in Wisconsin, this one, you know, she's facing 5 years. Because if you hide somebody eating who is charged with a felony, it's 5 years. If it's just misdemeanors, it's 1 year. So on state charges, this illegal alien is being charged with misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. But federally, he's being charged with felony illegal reentering. So she could face 5 years in jail for what she did.
My guess is she won't get jail time. But boy, I'll tell you what, you really want to hit her where it hurts for her. Disbar her.
Yeah.
Let her lose her license to practice law or be a judge.
Let me ask Dawn Stenson. We're technically a sanctuary city. I know Kenny flaunted it. Mm-hmm. Sherelle Parker doesn't mention it. So, where do we stand with that? Do you know?
Sherelle Parker, the only statement I've seen released on this is that she has said, we will comply with all the laws or something. Mm-hmm. It's this
very
generic,
yeah.
very safe statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can she spell laws?
well, we know she can't spell the Eagles.
Eagles!
That's embarrassing. That's just embarrassing.
That's what you get in blue cities.
That is embarrassing. I mean, how do you do that? I can't. It's the freaking chant.
That is called stupid.
It was like a reverb, and she was trying. But seriously, Sherelle's there were others. There were others, and then it's like, hey, and people are, you know, and it's back and forth, and
it's really
a lot of excitement.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Well, the whole stadium, I mean, when the whole stadium sings the fight song and there's reverb, they all seem to get it right, except when they booed Santa Claus. I don't know why they did that.
Come on, Sean.
That's not supposed to do that.
The whole stadium gets it right after 13 Miller Lights still.
Yeah. But who knows what she had that day.
Stephen, right. That's true. Stephen Miller talked about Trende Aragua in just a bunch of Maryland dads in Trende Aragua. they talked about it in the briefing room yesterday. This is cut 20, Phil, since we're on this sanctuary city, gangs, terrorists, illegal aliens, all of this. Roll it.
You may have seen recently an FBI assessment that was unclassified that said that the Maduro regime is using and planning to use trained Aragua terrorists to carry out assassination plots on American soil. Now, very few in this room covered that. I'll let you all ask yourselves why you didn't cover it and why your editors didn't assign that story to you. That's something I think you should think about on your own. But this is a earth-shattering piece of news. The Biden administration imported the terrorist army that our own FBI assesses is planning assassination strikes on American soil against critics of the Maduro regime. Those are the terrorists that President Trump is finding and apprehending that our Democrat judges and Democrat activists are trying to keep on U.S. soil. Trained Aragua has the same legal status as Al-Qaeda and ISIS. MS-13 has the same legal status as Al-Qaeda and ISIS. These are foreign terrorists operating on our soil. And our gratitude to El Salvador for agreeing to take custody of these terrorists is immense.
I love the fact that he finally said that, because that's what I've been explaining in big takes and in segments for now 6 weeks on this story. By classifying Tren de Aragua and MS-13 as terrorist organizations, they put them right on the same par, same page with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, any Middle Eastern terrorist organization. So that's what you do to any of these virtue-signaling lefties that are like, oh, yeah, I'll house you. Okay, would you house Osama bin Laden? Would you house Zarqawi and any of these terrorist leaders that we've obliterated in the last 20 years? The answer is no. The answer is absolutely no. They're no different. They have sinister intentions. I can't, Sean, I still to this day, you know, Van Hollen in Maryland, I can't believe they're dying on this hill. The men and women sports thing is hard to process, that they're willing to die on that hill. This one might actually trump that one.
I think this one's worse, to be honest with you.
I do too.
I really do. I think the optics of it is worse because at least the men and women sports thing, you can say, well, you know, it doesn't happen a lot. And we stand with this group of Americans, you know, transgender, and it's all we're accepting. Like there is under no, so like I won't, and I'll never agree with the case, but one could make the case that, hey, we should be more accepting towards trans people, right? Not necessarily men and women's sports, but you could use that as your umbrella argument, right? And you could sell that to someone under this whole, you know, under the guise of sympathy, right? And being a nice person. There is no umbrella argument as to why we should accept MS-13 and Tren de Aragua gang members back into the country who shouldn't be here in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's no justifying that, in my opinion. So when they do this, and then this is the craziest part, and I'm not like a conspiracy guy, but with the Brigo Garcia, right, with this whole thing, mm-hmm. You know, the left jumped on it because somebody in the administration was like, oops, this was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many, I'm not like, oh, this is a brilliant chess, but I wonder in this case, because of how much evidence the Department of Justice had, if they leaked out that it was a mistake to get them to die on this hill so that over the last 4 weeks they could drip, drip, drip. Okay, here's this piece of evidence about him being in a gang. Wow. The gang says he's in a gang. The knuckles say he's in a gang. the police says he's in a gang. His court says he's in a gang. Now his wife says he's in his gang. Now the wife's ex-husband says he's in a gang. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. All these things. And then the abuse and the petitions and I just wonder, did they set them up, or did somebody accidentally say it was a mistake and then the Department of Justice said, no, it's not a mistake, and now we'll prove it? I mean, I don't know, but the Democrats stepped in some sugar honey iced tea with Abrigo Garcia. I can tell you that much.
I know.
You don't want to be defending this guy.
And nope. They keep going down with all the evidence that's out. They keep defending it and going down this path. It is unbelievable.
Well, I don't know what's worse, the Democrats defending it or the wife who's on the receiving end of the abuse.
Oh,
I mean, even May Day yesterday out there pleading about the agony of 50 days, like her beautiful husband is being captive, held captive. What's the, Dawn, what's the number of the hostages in the Middle East? It's 500 and, was it 40 days now?
Yes, it's more than that at this point, but you have, and they only think 24 might hopefully be alive.
Yeah.
You bring that up. Let's play this for Sean. We played it earlier. 32, Phil. Sorry.
Yeah, get a load of this.
So, you know, the wife who, you know, had these 911 calls about her husband and all this stuff and how she's being brainwashed by the family and he slapped all kinds of stuff. This was her yesterday at a May Day rally in D.C. Roll it.
It's been 50 days. 50 days of pain and suffering. 50 days of uncertainty. And as we finally saw the proof that Kilmer was alive, my children and I had to watch Trump and Bukele's administration laugh over pain.
That's unbelievable, is it not? I mean, this is the lady on the receiving end of abuse. Her kids have been abused, and she's sitting there, and she makes Trump and Bukele out to be the bad guys.
You know, I think I feel bad for this woman. I think somebody's been targeting her. I have a feeling that the gang has been they've been on top of her, I think. I have, you know, mob wives, the whole, like, ride or die kind of thing that's going on here. I think that's what's going on here. I mean, look, if it was one complaint and nobody else had anything bad to say about Kilmer Abrigo Garcia, and his tattoos could not be interpreted to mean MS-13. And the police gang unit didn't say he was in a gang, and two courts didn't say he was in a gang, and gang members didn't say he was in a gang. You know, like, I would feel bad for her. I'd be like, wow, you know, all right, maybe they handled this one a little wrong. But she made multiple complaints. The ex-husband said she's dating a gang member, you know, the knuckles, the whole thing. Like, I think somebody's gotten to her.
It's interesting really you bring that up. I mean, you're saying the gang angle. Dawn brought up the lawyers because she was reading from a statement yesterday. And then I mentioned how the Democrats as a party are using her as a political pawn. I mean, I know Democrats can be diabolical to win elections and get their message across. But they're using her as a chess piece against Trump on a losing issue when she is a major victim to the guy they're trying to defend. It's staggering.
It's such a loser. It's such a bad. It is such a bad hill to die on for them, because it's not like this guy might have been in, you know, and I'm sure there's going to be even more. You know, this thing that came out, you know, the stuff that the Star put out in Tennessee with the eight people in the vehicle, and the vehicle is owned by somebody who's convicted of human smuggling, not suspected of, convicted of human smuggling. Where these guys had no luggage. What the hell are they doing in the car? You know, like it's. It is, and that's not to say if you have no luggage and you're in a car, it's automatically human trafficking. I mean, I've been in cars without luggage before. I haven't been being trafficked, but it's, you know, he's a bad hombre, right? Yeah. Like, this is one of those guys, you don't want to be stuck holding, you know, hot potato when it comes down to defending this dude. He's not a saint. He's just not.
I just got a tweet from McMeat Nuts.
Hairy balls.
It's a screenshot. Now, I don't know that this is true, but it's a screenshot of the, it looks like a GoFundMe or some sort of fundraising website. It says, aid for Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia's family. According to this screenshot, $265,000 have
been
raised.
You're not allowed to raise money for terrorists or alleged terrorists. So I wonder if that'll be. I wonder what's going to happen with that money.
Yeah, as a $290,000.
The U.S. government should seize it.
Yeah,
they should seize it and buy Bitcoin with it.
By the way, Sean brought up the body cam footage released by the Tennessean. We played a little bit of it earlier. I want to play it again for those people who tune in late. This was from the Jesse Waters show last night. The Tennessean released his body cam footage where he was stopped. He wasn't stopped for allegedly trafficking, but he was stopped because he had a license.
He was speeding.
He was going 75 and a suspended license.
Yeah.
And his license, it was an invalid license.
But you hear the cops say, there's no doubt in my mind that this is what's going on here. Phil, roll this.
Tennessee Highway Patrol stopped Kilmar for speeding and noticed he had eight other people in the car. All no luggage. Take a look.
Hello. Hello, sir.
How are you?
How are you?
All right. You got a bunch of people here, don't you?
It's one for yes. Go back to work.
Gotcha. Where are you working at?
Where? San Luis, Missouri.
Missouri?
Yes, St.
Louis.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'm from Maryland.
Where do y'all live at?
Where I live? I live in Maryland.
Maryland?
Yeah, also.
Whose vehicle is it? Whose car is it?
He's been my boss.
Your boss. Where's he live? Where's your boss live?
My boss right now is staying in Maryland, but he lives in Texas.
Okay.
Houston, Texas.
After talking to Kilmar, the officers had no doubt he was trafficking.
You know what you got here, right? He's hauling these people for money. You got an ass hauler, is what he's doing. But sometimes they commingle dope. There's eight people in there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that. Yeah. They put an extra row of seats in there.
Yeah. So he's getting paid to haul these people, probably to Maryland, I would say, if I had my guess.
He said they all work for him. That's what he's telling me. But he's the only one that knows.
So let me ask you this. They don't have any luggage in there, right? And if you get them out, they're going to have toothpaste, and they're going to have toothbrushes in their pockets, I guarantee it.
Yeah. He's got $1,400 cash in his pocket in an envelope.
So in the video, you can see one of the cops making a phone call. the body cam audio cuts out.
There you go.
Yeah, that was from the Tennessee Highway Patrol in November of 2022. And the Tennessee Star, I believe, was the one that released those clips yesterday.
And according to the report, they were instructed when they looked up his name that there was an involvement, a request to contact the feds. So he calls they do what they say, call the feds, and Biden's DOJ says let him go. So they let him go with a warning ticket for driving with a suspended license and for the speeding.
Yep.
Wow. Cash.
That's how it is.
No luggage.
Super citizen.
Well, we were saying,
I wish if I get pulled over for speeding, someone could call the feds and say, let him go.
You know what strikes me? Like, we had the persecution of Mark Houck, a local Christian Catholic dad, went on trial not far from where we're broadcasting here in Philadelphia in the federal building. Thank God a jury had the common sense to say that, you know, to say that he was innocent. And even the federal judge at the time, this was a dad who stood across the street with his son at an abortion clinic. So think about what DOJ was going after, you know, Catholic Christian dads and their kids during the Biden administration. And think about the coverage at the time, right? And now look at the media defending individuals like this. And if you think of human trafficking, isn't that slavery?
Yeah. Sure.
Essentially.
Sure.
Yeah.
What about the persecution of Nick Cale? You know, I go through a stop sign on a bus, and now I'm the devil. I'm Hitler because I couldn't bring my truck to a stop in 2 seconds for a stop sign from a school bus. But boy, they want that $300 from me like it's my last couple of dollars.
Did you pay that yet, by the way?
Not yet. Okay. I'm getting there.
Okay. All right.
Catch up on my paperwork this weekend.
A judge released a suspected Tesla firebomber. Citing ADHD and no access to gender-affirming care.
No access to care.
Wow.
Okay.
Roll this.
Rhea and John, the government wanted Owen McIntyre to spend the time before trial behind bars, but the judge in Boston sided with the defense in this case, which cited multiple medical issues facing the 19-year-old, including autism spectrum disorder, gender dysphoria, and ADHD. McIntyre's attorney.
So now transgenderism is a mental disorder. Now it's a mental condition.
The criminal defense.
Or would not be provided while in federal detention. The defense filing says McIntyre is being treated for depression and since March has been receiving gender-affirming care. That care would likely be interrupted or terminated in federal custody.
Wow.
All right, so here's how I'm going to fight my $300 ticket. I'm going to go
That's
to
what
court,
I was just about to say.
And I'm going
to
claim gender dysphoria, and I should not be held liable due to my current mental health state.
Nick, if you go into court, right, with a wig and say your name is now Nicole,
yeah,
okay,
we're paying.
You'll get out of your ticket because you could just be like, look, I have a mental disorder. I have a problem.
Well,
I rolled through the stop sign because the stop sign detonated me.
Yep.
Okay, like, yeah, I mean, seriously, when we call it a mental illness, we're bigots.
Uh-huh.
But when this person gets arrested, he could call it, or it, they, them, Zhao Ji, cat self can call it a mental illness.
Yep.
And get out of potentially spending time in pretrial detention. Now, that's not to say that this person is not going to be convicted, but I just find it just, it's bizarre.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. You're right. I'm going to go to court. I'm going to wear a wig. I'm going to wear a dress.
No, you're not.
And when the judge says,
sure,
I'm going to say pronouns are actually she/her.
I say it's ma'am.
And I'm going to flip out because I was misgendered.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And I'm going to put the ball back in the judge's court.
Yeah.
There we go.
Dawn,
I don't even need you anymore. I want my money back from the retainer I gave you. You're no longer my defense attorney.
Look, just pay the $300. We're going to scrub that video from the interwebs.
Scrub it.
Chris Never happened.
Chris Eppolito says, Kale should just say, I drive a Ridgeline and he may get leniency.
Or they might double it.
So we finally found out who Big Balls was last night.
Oh, yes.
Right, with Elon.
Yeah.
Been a long time coming, has it not?
Big Balls. Yes. So they sat down, the Doge team sat down with Jazzy Waters, and we finally found out who Big Balls was. Cut 25, Phil, roll it.
Big Balls.
Of course it's that guy.
That should be obvious.
Of course it's that, yes.
Why do they call you Big Balls?
I just said it as my LinkedIn username.
Oh my god.
Can we freeze it right there? Yeah. Can we just leave him? Leave him. Put him back seriously? In there. Yep, right there. So that's his. Now, if you use Big Balls as a username for like a gamer tag, going like on an Xbox, okay, I gotcha. But that's your LinkedIn. LinkedIn is basically your professional resume on a website. And yeah, by the way,
listen, it worked.
It did.
He's on Doge. It worked.
I was just going to say that.
Look at that
kid is a hero.
That guy right there, for all the great work he's done, which by the way, Doge, Bobby Kennedy, I gave them very high grades for the first 100 days. But that looks like the kid. That's the kind of little punk that would have a gamer tag named Big Balls, wouldn't it?
He's 19 years old.
Oh, he doesn't have a facial hair on his face.
He looks like he's 19. Actually, he looks younger than 19.
Yeah.
He looks like he's about 16.
Baby face.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see who Big Balls is.
Edward Korestein.
Yeah.
Edward.
Edward, of course. Edward. Of course his name is Edward.
Well, when your mom names you Edward, you have to pivot to Big Balls, right?
Yeah.
You just can't go through life being called Edward.
All right, keep rolling this, Phil.
And they're pretty adverse to risk. And I was like, well, I want to be neither of those things. So I said it, and honestly, I didn't even think anyone would notice.
Yeah. So LinkedIn is so cringe.
What does Big Balls do?
Right now I'm working on some payment computer stuff. So one of our initiatives is to root out fraud and waste. And to do that, we started looking at the payment computers. And as mentioned earlier, like, there is no accounting of what payments actually go to in the payment computer. So, like, you look at a specific line item, like $20 million, and you're like, okay, well, what is this money going to? And for the majority of payment systems, it's like, well, we don't really know.
And yeah, like, what? That would be the response.
Is this the most basic responses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most common response.
What do you say when people just say, I don't know?
Well, it's a huge cause for concern because, like, the upstream thing, which is distributing the money, literally has no checks and no accountability to the actual American taxpayer. So it's a huge vector for fraud, waste, and abuse.
Do these people not respect taxpayer money?
I mean, there's no incentive to if you work in the government. I think the incentives will always decide the outcomes.
Yes.
Wow.
Look at Elon just sitting there with a smile, nodding along. He's like, that's my little protege right there. That's my man, Big Balls, cutting the fraud, waste, and abuse that Obama only claimed he would do.
Amazing.
How can you hate that kid right there? I think I saw it this morning. They had the graphic up on Fox and Friends. $160 billion is the claim in Doge discoveries. And according to the math, it would be an average of $993 per taxpayer in the United States. Question is, do we ever see that $1,000 again? Or does that just go towards the deficit or back into the general fund?
I will donate my share to paying down the debt. It's more important to do that, I think.
Well,
you know,
I'd actually like to get the check because then I can pay off my $300 ticket and still pocket the other six and change.
You could pay off your $300 ticket three times.
Yeah,
exactly right.
But you're not going to have to pay that because you have now a mental disorder.
That's right.
Aside from being a Phillies fan, you're also going to
be... You're fighting
Shots
words.
Are fired.
I don't dispute anything you said. I am a disturbed individual.
That's why we love you,
Sean. Can confirm.
26 here, Phil Moore from the Doge crew. Roll this. They all look so young.
They are.
Look at this kid.
Yes. That kid probably got rejected from 13 Ivy League schools because he didn't hit a quota.
I think he came from China.
Well, did you see the story of the Asian kid out in California? He's going all the way to the Supreme Court. 16 different institutions rejected him, so Google hired him, and he's like a whiz kid. How did this kid get rejected from these schools?
Because Asians are white now. That's the new thing.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right? Yes. That's like the new... Because they're successful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right. Roll this.
I think the Inter-American Foundation, IAF, is one of the agencies we visited where, they get $50 million a year, congressional money, to give grants. These are things like, alpaca farming in Peru, improving them.
That's a real example.
Yes. That's the real description. Improving the marketability of peas in Guatemala.
Really?
Fruit jam. yes.
What? Yeah,
And so you might expect, in the private sector, a nonprofit to give, 80 to 90% of their money to grantees. In the case of IAF, that was 58%. So the other half goes towards management, travel.
What would it find exactly? I mean, to Ethan's example is that Even if you agreed with supporting alpaca farmers in Peru, well, actually, most of the money never made it out of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It's going into the pockets of people in the neighborhood.
What percentage?
And they didn't even get to Peru.
Right. So what percentage do you think doesn't even get to the destination it's supposed to?
I believe the GAO estimates, so this is not our estimate, I believe it was on the order of only 10 to 15 cents in the dollar actually gets to the end recipient, whether you agree with that cause or not.
So they're just stealing the money before it even gets anywhere.
There's layers of stealing. So there's like there's the first layer of stealing, second layer of stealing, third layer of stealing.
Subcontractor, subcontractor, you start
peeling the onion. Yeah, exactly. Contractor, subcontractor, subcontractor. It's like peeling an onion. And then maybe, and sometimes it's zero. Just flat. You get to the bottom of the onion, there's nothing there.
So maybe no one got a sex change in Guatemala.
It's possible that no one got a sex change in Guatemala.
It's unbelievable. It's a Ponzi scheme. Taxes. It's all BS. I mean, 10 to 15% of it actually goes to whatever cause. Now, I know Elon said his time's coming to a close. Doge was supposedly set to self-expire next year. But now recently he said, quote, we view Doge as necessary as a long-term enterprise. Because if Doge goes away, this whole process resumes again. All the waste, fraud, and abuse will just pick right back up. It's like draining the swamp, and then it just repopulates, you know?
Yeah, so when you pull weeds, you got to go to the root.
Right.
You got to, or else they'll come right back out of the, come right back out, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Elon.
Big balls looks like a smart kid. Yeah. I got to tell you.
When he was 16, he established all these websites. He's like a Doogie Howser genius kid. Mm. The mainstream media, even New York Magazine, stooped so low to just describe, oh, this kid with a broccoli perm. And they just, I mean, what?
Jeez, man.
Like a kid? Really?
Yeah.
But he, even in high school, was starting all of these different AI sites. He actually worked for Neuralink as it's underage.
Oh, so that's how
this guy's brilliant.
I found out who he was. That's probably
so. You're saying the mainstream media is kind of mocking and smearing him.
Absolutely, okay. I think they have. Good.
Which is interesting because they prop up David Hogg and Harry Sisson.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mock all
and
of
Greta.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you?
I don't care if you're Big Greta Balls Thunberg. Or David Hogg. All these guys look like they're all virgins.
All right, more Elon Musk and Doge.
I'm an equal opportunity ripper.
29, Bill. 29, go.
Possible that no one got a sex change in Guatemala.
I overheard a contractor tell one of her colleagues to falsify billable hours by creating a PowerPoint to mask a delay in the onboarding process.
Oh my God.
In front of me. And this is like hour zero at this agency. And so, I mean, this is just a common theme that you take a look at these contracts, you take a look at these grants, and it's veiled in noble rhetoric. You know, it's at the top level. It's
it
like,
sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And then you actually just follow what are the funds actually doing?
Or send us a picture.
Exactly. And
the send us a picture request is incredibly good. Like Pixar didn't happen. And then they're like, and it wouldn't be that hard to just, frankly, they could search for some fake pics on the internet or get AI to generate the pics, but they don't even bother doing that.
So you caught them cold billing fraud.
Oh, I caught them, her advising her colleague to do this because it takes a few days to onboard. So that is being investigated right now.
Yeah, I mean, generally, like these programs, these grants are going to be like along the lines of save the baby pandas. And it's like, well, of course, who wouldn't want to save the baby pandas? And you know, in some cases, they've got a show panda, which they will trot out for special occasions. In a lot of cases, they don't even have a show panda.
No panda.
There's not even one panda. Because we asked for pictures, and we don't even get one panda. And it's like, well, you got to, well, that's a lot of, you know, what does $1 billion get you? Does it not even get you one panda?
You really want to see a baby panda.
Yeah. Like the Ebola money. We're like, okay, well, we agree with, like, we shouldn't have Ebola, you know. Where is the money going? Oh, it's going to Deloitte in D.C. Like, what is an accounting firm doing with Ebola money?
What has been the big...
All right, there you go.
You know what's amazing about all of this is when you think about this, Sean, you talk about arguing with somebody on the left over any policy, and then you try to talk to them about Doge and all the waste, fraud, and abuse, and they get offended by it, they're triggered by it, and I'm like, wait a minute, We're trying to point out where all of your money is going that you didn't know about for causes that you don't support. And even if you don't support the cause, only 10% of it actually makes its way there. It's theft, and they argue with you over it. And they like, wait, we're trying to save money here. We're trying to save all of us money. We all want more money in our pocket. They'll fight you on that because it's coming from the Trump administration. Yet they're the same group of people that want free student loan bailouts on their loans.
Yeah.
They're the same people that want stimulus checks for COVID and this, that, and the other thing, a lot of which cause inflation and are inflationary in nature. The logic of these individuals makes no sense, even when we're talking about finances and what goes into your bank account. I mean, you can't argue with these people.
There's no logic on their side of anything at this point. There's none. You know what they have become, purely the party of literally whatever Donald Trump says and wants to do. We must stand for the opposite. Okay. Yeah. Deporting gang members, they want to import gang members. Eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse, they want to increase the waste and the fraud and the abuse. You know, that's why I've been kicking this idea around probably for the last couple of years, but we are going, let me just tell you something we're going to do. I am endorsing breathing, right? We love to breathe. We love to breathe. You remember the band Bush, right?
Yeah, of course.
Greg knows what I'm...
Breathe in, breathe out, yeah.
Breathe out, right? We love it. I helped them write the song, you know? And they said, sir, that's a brilliant thing to do, right? Breathe. We love to breathe. We love oxygen. We love air. We love to eat. We love it. It's incredible. Because what they're going to do, they're going to take plastic bags, because they love their plastic, right?
It's true.
And they're going to put that over their head. They're going to stop breathing, right? If only we could be so lucky. Right? Oh, if only we could be so lucky.
Kale and Company, we continue with the cut sheet. We continue with Sean Farish. Kamala Harris will join us at 9:30.
Yes.
But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we are talking today about Piazza Mazda and their huge crossover and SUV lineup. This month, Piazza Mazda offering 0.9% financing on their award-winning SUVs and their crossovers. You can choose between the sleek Mazda CX-5, the sporty CX-30, the capable CX-50, or the three-row CX-90. Or how about this? The CX-70 plug-in hybrid. Discover your dream SUV with 0.9% financing for 36 months today. Visit Piazza Mazda of Westchester or Reading for a personalized test drive or shop online at PiazzaMazda.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we continue on a Friday, Sean Farish is with us, and it's the never-ending cut sheet.
Five here, Phil. Speaking of Maryland, new documents are showing that American public schools are continuing a taxpayer-funded gender identity program which instructs teachers to use gender-neutral language in classrooms such as people with vaginas.
And people with vaginas?
And some women have
Lindsey Graham.
And some people have a penis. So this has been in effect since 2020. The Maryland Department of Health has received nearly $7 million in grants to run this program called True You Maryland. This program is reportedly being utilized through 2028. Here's a Fox News report on it. Go.
A taxpayer-funded program targets rural Maryland counties with a plan to teach children about different gender identities. Patrick Hoff from our Spotlight on Maryland team investigates some of the controversial aspects of the program.
Not every woman is able to carry a pregnancy. Some women, again, remember our three categories, some women might have a penis and testicles. Oh,
that was a part of a training from Maryland public school teachers hosted by Planned Parenthood in 2023. Now, educators learned how to use gender-neutral language in the classroom.
Instead of saying women can get periods, what can we say?
Folks with uteruses.
Come on, Elaine! Elaine had the Wheaties this morning. I like it. Okay. Well,
I would actually say people who menstruate, because not everyone with a uterus menstruates.
Ooh, I like it.
Now, Spotlight on Maryland was able to obtain this video because it's paid for by your taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm.
The Maryland Department of Health has received about $7 million from the federal government since 2020 to run the True You Maryland program. It distributes these taxpayer dollars to health departments in six Maryland rural counties. Allegheny, Dorchester, Somerset, Washington, Wicomico, and Worcester, as well as Johns Hopkins University and the Healthy Teen Network. Documents show the program is scheduled through 2028 and aims to lower birth rates, sexually transmitted infections, and inequities in rural Maryland.
Inequities.
A federal grant award states that Purdue oversees four unnamed Maryland school districts as they implement something called the Positive Prevention Plus Sex Education Curriculum, which includes lessons about different gender identities.
Children start to recognize their gender identity at about 2 years old.
This is a teacher led by Alicia Miller of the
I need to see the science on that.
2023. Yeah. The presentation focused on how
picking your nose at
use Positive Prevention Plus in the classroom.
For example, instead of saying boys produce sperm, an educator can say testicles produce sperm. Instead of saying menstruation is when a girl sheds the lining of her uterus, we can say menstruation is when the lining of the uterus sheds.
Still, it's unclear which of the rural Maryland school districts participated in these trainings and used.
You get it.
Can you imagine sitting there through one of those slideshows on Zoom and that nut job in the right corner of your screen talking like that and then going through her little PowerPoint presentation?
Yep.
You know, I haven't been through rural Maryland in a long time, but I'm just going to guess in rural Maryland, $7 million could go a long way for paving some roads.
Maybe. How about reading proficiency?
Air conditioning in schools.
Data shows that 67% of Maryland's fourth and eighth graders are not reading proficiently.
Well, as long as
worried about uteruses or uteri, as I would say.
Uteri, yes.
I can't believe that this is what they're doing. Like if I had to sit on that Zoom and I heard that, I would lose my mind. You know what? Please, someone find a way to get me on one of these Zooms incredibly violent. I would just start screaming. Do you actually believe this? What you're saying right now?
Could you imagine being on a Zoom and you've got a lady or a PowerPoint and then Sean Farish's head just emerges and rises up on the Zoom?
Oh, even better. Even better. I'll do one of these.
Watch this. Here it comes.
What the hell are you people doing? What the hell is wrong with you people? Stupid people. That's what I'll say. You're very stupid. What the hell? They would kick me off the Zoom immediately.
Well, maybe this explains why Wes Moore is not going to be running in 2028.
Yeah.
Yeah, the governor of Maryland announcing yesterday he will not be a candidate.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe he knew this story was going to drop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
That made my day.
We were just talking about
I saw Dawn and she lost it.
Hey, what else? So let's get this straight. You've got the Joy Reid glasses. Get all your toys. Yeah. Grab all your gadgets real quick. Yeah. You get your Joy Reid glasses. You've got your Trump head. Yep.
I got the head.
And you have the word salad fork.
And I have a new one now. The word salad fork.
He's got a new one.
And then we have this for Letitia James. Please don't feed the Sasquatch. So there she is. There's Tish. You look at her. That looks just like Letitia.
Tish in the trees.
Tish in the trees.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see all
does
of
Tish, you know what, in the woods. I think she does.
She's got props.
Yeah.
She's got props.
Does.
All over the place.
I meant to get to this yesterday, but that's what Friday's for. It's to get to stuff we don't get to during the week. This woman fled racist America for Africa. And now she desperately wants to return.
Oh, no kidding.
Because there's...
No way.
There's, as she
you
says...
She doesn't like living in a hut?
She says, there's, quote, big-ass spiders and big-ass lizards. And this BS, not having no snacks.
Get ready for this, folks. Get ready. This might actually be Meatball's cousin. I haven't confirmed that. We're going to do a DNA test. Where's my gal? Where's Meatball at? Here we go. There we go. Yep.
Never loot again. Stay out of trouble. Never go to jail.
All right. Cut 14, Philip. Go.
But, y'all, I'd rather go back to America and deal with the racism in America before I sit here in Africa and deal with the robbery, the fraud, the scams, the too expensive, the not having no snacks, the electricity, the hot water, the what's that called? That's coming down. animals, it's scorpions outside the house, it's spiders, it's lizards, colorful lizards you ain't never seen before, all in the room with you, sleeping with you, all the people trying to scam you when you go outside thinking you rich, so they trying to get more money off of you. I'm really trying to wrap my head around this. How are Americans coming to Africa and being happy? Please comment down below. Because for me, I'm ready to go. And I always used to say, if it's up to me, it will be. And I'm going to go out to Africa and make it happen. No, I don't want to. I want to take my businesses back to America. I want to open up shop back in America, open up my dentist office, and all the stuff that I was going to do out here in America.
She's going to open up a dentist office.
Stop
going to dental school.
That office when we don't pay the bill.
Right.
And we got it so good now. We got prepaid electricity. So if we forget to pay the bill, we put some money on that prepaid thing and it comes right back on in 2 minutes.
It's amazing.
In less than 2 minutes. This right here didn't come on for 14 hours yesterday. I can't deal. I love the people. Don't get me wrong. When I'm outside, I'm having fun. I love people. But when I come back to reality, when you come back home, home is where the heart is, right? When you come back home, you're supposed to feel comfortable. You're supposed to be happy. I'm not happy. To live in a house where you look outside and all you see is turkeys and ducks and chickens and sheep and old
pandas.
Malnourished cows.
Everybody must eat.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Well, I can guarantee this.
Yeah.
That's not a malnourished cow.
No, that's actually Jordan Davis, Eagles defensive tackle.
Can you imagine it, like what the African people who are, you know, some of them are starving and they're looking at her.
Yeah.
They're looking at her and they're like, Where'd you come from? What did you eat?
Yeah. Well, you've been munching.
Well, let me say, she said she first started that whole thing with, like, you know, I left because of the racism. And racism ain't so bad, ain't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I bet you like when people called you, you know, when people said something about you, you thought it was racist.
Yeah.
Turns out racism ain't so bad, is it? Right? You know?
Yeah.
How about you? You know what? Stay. Do me a favor. Stay. You know, looking at the size of her. We don't need any more food shortages in the United States. Sorry.
Well, these people want to leave America. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side. Okay. Take a field
trip.
They
think she's rich because she's enormous. That's one of the signs in these third world countries. If you're fat, they assume you have a lot of money because you eat a lot. You have a lot of money to spend on food. This woman, she's probably got Han Solo on her wall in the living room. Gaba. Okay? Seriously.
Everybody
talking about Mal. The cows are malnourished. Maybe she should give some of the food that she's been eating to the cows then, if that's the case. My goodness.
Oh, God.
Yeah, let her come back. I'll bring her, you know, bring her back before bringing a Brigo back. She seems harmless.
Well, she says she has businesses, so she's there to work.
Well, she's going to open up a dental office.
Yeah. She says her teeth, by the way? She better start with, she should be patient zero. She's working on a Stacey Abrams up there. Whistling Dixie.
All right, Nick, control yourself here. Legendary coach.
Hold on, let me get slip covers in
Uh-oh.
Here.
Nick Saban.
This is amazing.
Does this studio have flood insurance?
Introduces President Trump to the University of Alabama's commencement. Here he shares a memorable story from the 2017 championship team's White House visit. Buckle in, Mr. Kale. This is all for you, my friend. Roll this.
And before I introduce President Trump, I have to tell you a story.
Uh-oh.
You know, you all know that we win a national championship, we get to go to the White House, and it's a great experience for our players and each and every year. When we won in 2017, President Trump was there in 2018, very gracious host, and he's the first president that invited us to come in the Oval Office. So I take the three captains in the Oval Office, and the president's really nice to everybody, and he's got this very big, good-looking, auspicious box on his desk that has a red button on top. And one of the players said, "Is that what you launch the missiles with?" And he said, "Well, push it and find out." player said, "No, I don't want to do that." He said, "Oh, go ahead, push it, see what happens, find out." So Rashawn Evans finally got the guts up, went over, pushed the red button. Some lady came in with a Coke on a tray. So I really want to express my appreciation to President Trump for choosing the University of Alabama for his commencement address and making time to speak to our graduates. Now it is my distinct honor to introduce our next speaker. Please join me in welcoming the 45th and 47th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
There you have it. Yeah, last night at Alabama's commencement. Not many boos, huh?
Everybody's standing.
Yeah.
Huge applause.
USA?
That's patriotism.
Come on, let's go!
Shakes hands.
Yep.
McSavin.
And he didn't fall down on the stage. Look at that.
Yep.
And then 24, Phil. 24, Phil, just to round this one out.
By the way, I'm completely aroused right now. Completely. This is like Blue Chew in audio form.
Guys, when the clips were playing, Nick was under the desk. You know what it looked
like? I was doing the tubing. Doing the Jeffrey Toobin on the Zoom.
I call it honking his hedgehog, right?
Exactly right.
Especially a very big hello to the University of Alabama. Congratulations to the class of 2025. Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
There you go. That's going to be my ringtone.
That's it. Nick's done for the rest of it.
Yeah, that's it.
My new ringtone on my phone.
You know I thought
saying?
Of
Roll
you.
Tide.
Because your mom.
Roll Tide.
Your mom was a fan, right? That's where you get this?
My whole family, yeah. My dad's aunt. So my grandmother's sister was a dean at Alabama during the Bear Bryant days of the 70s. So that's how the fandom started from my dad, passed on to me, the whole bit. So I get this
Roll Tide
on a Saturday and then
Fly Eagles Fly
on a Sunday. And I'm a happy man.
By the way, Dave in South Carolina has a piece of trivia for you, Kale. Name the only coach who has a winning record against Nick Saban in national championship games.
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know. I have no idea.
I thought you would know.
No.
I have no idea.
No. I have no idea.
Dave, put the
Lou
answer
Holtz?
Down there.
Somebody
in the...
like Lou Holtz?
Good question. And by the way, too, and this just goes to show you that you can appreciate going to the White House if you're not, you know, on board with the politics. I don't know this for sure, but I do know Saban is he's like best friends or really, really good friends with Joe Manchin. My guess is that Saban is somewhere like a Joe Manchin Democrat or a very, very moderate Republican, one way or the
centrist
other. Yeah.
Type deal.
That's the
he doesn't really get involved.
Right. Although a lot of people
you know what?
He
was respectful yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is the thing. You have the president there. Saban may not agree with everything that Trump says.
Right.
Maybe he agrees with a lot. I have no idea. He doesn't wear his politics on his sleeve. But
nope.
The point of the matter is Saban did what, you know, we used to do in America where, okay, I don't like Obama, but I respect the office. So we respect him while he's there and we stay cordial. Kind of like what Whitmer did in Michigan, but she hugged him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her career's over now because of that.
That's true.
If you think in 2028, when she decides she's going to run for president, that the rest of the people in that primary don't plaster that ad all over TV that you hugged President Trump, her career is done.
Yep.
It's over.
I agree.
She's never going to be more than a governor. Never.
By the way, I mean, you know, not to get into this now, we're already over, but you're a fan of a college you never went to?
Oh, what are you, Mike Missinelli now? Yeah, it's the same. This is the same crap I used to hear all those years.
I mean, you know.
Oh, I should be a Penn State fan. You know what? I'm Catholic. I should be a Notre Dame fan, right? I'm Irish. I should root for Notre Dame like those in Delco.
I will say this. I'm a fan of watching, you know, the future of America with young patriots, patriotism on display. Which is really nice to see because usually on this show, you know, your cut sheet is filled with disturbed, woke, young people the same age.
I get the sense
I get
the sense that Dawn's becoming a Bama fan right before our very eyes.
I think so.
Uh-huh. There were protesters, see, I have to
root,
last
there
night.
Were. I have to root a little bit for Alabama, at least, because they produced the only quarterback to give the Jets a Super Bowl, Joe Namath.
Joe Namath.
So, yep. You know, they have a soft spot.
And they produced the only, well, not the only, but they produced Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Kind of.
They yeah. also produce a lot of, you know, cousins that marry each other.
Yeah.
Stop.
Most sweet home.
That's a thing.
By the way, I just, you know. Being a fan of it. I love college football, but like, yeah. I don't really root for any team. I just like watching it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had to go away from the whole Penn State thing.
No, I understand. Yeah. I get it. I understand why. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like.
Everybody thinks that I jumped on the bandwagon because of Saban. I've been a fan for 33 years.
Because your family.
Yeah.
Oh, I get that.
A lot of lean years there. Back when I had hair, they were like a 7-6 program.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got?
All right, one more, and then we should, since we're already over, we might as well just go way over.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, let's do this one. This is more visual, but cut 12 here, Phil. I guess I have to play this because they're censoring. So there was a Beyonce concert at SoFi Stadium, which is where? That's in Texas?
SoFi is...
Houston, right?
No, SoFi is either L.A. or Vegas.
Okay. So you know how Beyonce won the Best Country mm-hmm. album or whatever?
Yeah.
So apparently her fans now go to her concerts dressed as cowgirls.
Oh.
So this is Los Angeles.
Yeah. So there was a fight after one of the shows, which is hilarious to see. Roll it, Phil. There you go, guys. Look at this. Oh, 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 oh!
Look how tall she is.
Wow. Wait.
Oh!
Oh! Whoa!
There's a lot of denim there,
Where's
huh?
Where's Randy Orton?
Whoa! Another one!
Oh! I want someone to jump off that counter. Let's go. Get off the counter. I want the big lady to drop an elbow from the counter. Let's go.
Which one? They're all big.
Wow.
Wow, this is the shot put team.
Yeah.
Right here. Holy
cow. Oh, my Lord. That denim is screaming.
There's not a broad in there under a buck 80.
Yes.
Wow.
I can't hear that. You could hear the denim screaming, help me.
Oh. That's why you can't be wearing boots like that. On those floors, that's like wearing figure skates.
I'm gonna take the words out of Greg's mouth here and just go, you know, there's something, there's a common denominator about this. Remember the Walmart video? It's
yeah.
like, you know, we're
yeah.
not surprised that this happened in Walmart. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
Look at the lady right there with the dress, the blouse.
Yeah.
I wanted the blouse lady to do a swan, a five-star frog splash off the counter on this.
That blouse could cover 2,400 market.
It's like a parachute.
Holy smokes.
Jump out of an airplane.
You get lost in that thing.
YouTube.com/
You can hide your kids in there and get free admission.
I just love...
they mad at? Like, I just wonder...
I don't know.
They're all dressed up. They're ready for a big night. I mean, they're...
Maybe Beyonce didn't perform. Like, she did... Remember, she didn't sing at the Kamala thing.
Kamala thing, yeah.
She hits her Cowboy Carter tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cowboy. Maybe they were mad because that album's not actually good.
Yeah, it's true. It's a great point. Oh, but yet
Beyonce is overrated.
But
that's why they're mad.
But yet she still wins Album of the Year, country Album of the Year.
Yeah.
Vicious.
How did Taylor Swift take that, by the way? Was Swifty mad that Beyonce, the Swifties against Queen Bee, a little country music fight?
I think she was gracious about it.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see this video. We should take a break.
Well, no, Tay-Tay's not used to losing.
It's 9:30, Kamala coming up.
That's right. Get ready for the giggles. Captain Cacklebox will be with us in 37 minutes. Kale and Company. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders, because the truth is, when it comes to furniture, they don't make it like they used to. Cheap, mass-produced junk. So why do that when you can do Bucks County Estate Traders, their massive Hatfield showroom, 58,000 square feet. You got to see this place, with over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture. Brands like Stickley, Baker, Henrodon, and more, the kind of quality craftsmanship that has withstood the test of time. And you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. It doesn't matter what style you're looking for, classic, modern, rustic, traditional. If you're doing the home office, the dining room, the living room, the man cave, the entire house, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece comes with a QR code. You pull out the phone, you snap the picture, and kaboom. Details instantly on your phone, and their expert staff is the best in the business. No pushy salespeople. Swing by, say hello to Matt Stanella. He will take care of you. He's the owner. He's in there all the time. Check out their website, call ahead. They'll have the pieces you want ready to show you that day. BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.